We do have a quorum, so let me call the April 26th meeting of the Coastal Region MPO. Will now come to order. The Coastal MPO is holding in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be represented by the staff, or other business, staff update on status update on current projects, activities, informational reports, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda item, action item that is, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card at the appropriate time. I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will then be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Les Fussell, Richmond Hill.
Nick Palumbo, second.
It's been properly motioned and second that the approval of the agenda. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote by stating your name. Ben to my left.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
Tom Hutchison, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Edric Cody, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
All right, all votes in, the chairman votes yes. The agenda is approved. Committee reports verbally.
Mr. Chairman, the TCC met on April the 20th. We had six items, action items on our agenda. All of those actions were either approved or the recommendation to move to the MPO were made. Therefore, all of our actions have been completed.
Okay.
The ADVAC committee did not meet this month.
Okay. Next committee.
Good morning. ACAP met this Monday and endorsed all of the action items.
CEC met last Wednesday, also endorsed all the action items. Thank you.
Right. Is there another? All right, let me have a motion to accept all those reports.
I'll make a motion to accept those reports. Les Fussell.
Nick Palumbo, second.
It's been properly motioned and second that we accept the committee reports. Are ready for the question? Please vote by stating your name and your preference, starting with my right this time.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Edric Cody, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Tom Hutchison, yes.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
All right. The chairman, yes. All right. Now we're moving on now to action item approval of the February 22nd, 2023 core MPO board meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes from the February 22 core meeting. Tanya Milton.
Tom Hutchison, second.
Mm-hmm. Properly motioned and second that the approval of the February 22nd meeting minutes be approved. Ready for the question? No question. Please signify by casting your vote, starting to my left.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
All right. Chairman, yes. All right, let us now move on to item number two, fiscal year 2023 UPWP amendment.
Morning.
Morning.
The fiscal year 2023 UPWP and the fiscal year 2024 UPWP are all staff work programs. The fiscal year 2023 covers June of last year, July of last year until the June of this year, and then 2024 starts on July 1st of this year. We are actually processing the amendment just for one project. It will be for the grant award that CAP got, about $1.2 million. The reason we're including them in both the 2023 UPWP and the 2024 UPWP is because CAS wants to kick off the study before June of this year and continue the study in next year. So that's why we're adding the information. Since there are a little bit difference in format, so you will see the information included in both documents a little bit differently. So basically, this is for, like I mentioned, in fiscal year 2023 UPWP, we're adding the information under transit planning tasks, and it's the smart-funded CAD EV zonal micro project. So CAD got about $1.2 million from the Strengthening Mobility and Revolutionizing Transportation Grant Funds, and it's 100% federal, so CAD doesn't need to provide a local match. So this money will be used for study how to implement the microtransit project. So this is the information that I highlighted in fiscal year 2023 UPWP. And in fiscal year 2024, and we actually kicked off the EV in 2023, and in 2024, we will continue, or CAD will continue to complete the CAD EV Zonal Microsoft funded project, the Smart Grant funded project, and also in the financial table I'm listing over here also include this project. So the total is $1.2 million. So these would be two separate action items, but they will be for the same amount of money. And if you have any questions, Mr. Massimo might be able to answer them.
All right. Is there any board member with a question concerning? No board members? All right. Let me, I don't have a question, but let me make sure that I want to speak to Chairman Cody and his board now. This board cannot require for you to give us, whether you want to do it by monthly or whether you want to do it quarterly reports to be turned in to us, all right? But your board can, all right? And so what we would really want to do is to have you do your board require quarterly reports or monthly, bi-monthly reports, okay, if you will, and then get that over to the MPO staff so that, because we are amending this to include it into something that's already been done. And so that we've got to have a tracking mechanism or, for better terms of words, check and balance type system, all right? We need to know, and I'm saying this publicly now, we need to know what's going on because we don't need to get at a point and get caught that we've got to send money back, okay? So we need to know that what is written in the grant, that and let me say this while I'm talking too. We need to thank both Senator Ossoff and Warnock for having worked with us to get us this money, okay? But we need to make sure that we have accountability in place, and we also need to make sure that we have transparency in place. So your board can require your staff to provide you with the reports, and that, and doesn't matter to me whether, I think, well, Cody, you said yesterday you would prefer bi-monthly.
Because CAD provides a status report bi-monthly to us, okay, for all the transportation planning project or capital improvement project. So we would rather they just include this item over there in addition to all the projects already listed.
So we could have just included in our regular reporting as we would do.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we're not trying to put any extra work on you, but we need to have a tracking system. All right. And they need to be updated exactly what your status is as you move along. So if you would provide that report, then they can keep the board here abreast of what's going on. Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. We'll definitely take care of that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I request that the board vote on two separate action items.
Okay. It requires two different actions, but for the same monies now. The money is not 1.2 each time. It's 1.2 one time, but two different actions. So let us have the action. Let us have a motion and a second to accept the first action.
Last Fussell, I make a motion that we accept the fiscal year 2023 UPWP amendment as it has been amended.
Tanya Milton, I second.
All right. It's been properly motioned and second that we accept the amendments to the 2023 UPWP amendment recommended by the staff. Are they ready for the question? No question. Please cast your votes. And I'll start to my right.
Aiello, yes.
Beta Massimo, yes.
Edric Cody, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes. The motion passes. Now let me have a motion for the second part, 2024.
So moved, Pamela Bernard.
Second?
Second by Les Fussell.
All right, it's been properly motioned and second that the second part of the amendment be adopted. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my left.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Nick Palumbo, go cat, yes.
Sean Killen, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Theta Massimo, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
All right, we thank you for the vote, the chairman, yes.
Okay, thank you. So we will move on to the TIP update staff report. I just want to mention that we did advertise for a public hearing. So I would do the presentation and then you can just open the public hearing. And also want to mention that if you have questions, one of the GDOT project managers, Ron Nelson, is definitely here. So if you have questions about that Talmadge Bridge project, this is time to ask the question because he's here to answer those. So I just want to mention those. So in April 2023, we are going to process four amendments and some administrative modifications. The two amendments are related to the highway projects and the two are related to the transit projects. So one of those highway project is Talmadge Bridge because currently the construction is in 2025 and GDOT wishes to move it to 2024. They are already in procurement phase for this project. So Mr. Nelson can just tell you what is to be done for this project. And the second one is the Los Rattle Creek project. Right-of-way and construction are currently in fiscal year 2023, and we are already at the end of 2023 because we are already in April, and then June 3rd is the end of 2023, so there's no way that they can make it. So the right-of-way, we are shifting the right-of-way from 2023 to 2024, and construction will be shifted to later years, maybe 2025 or 2026. That's the Los Rattle Creek. And then for the two transit projects, because we got CAD actually pretty fortunate, we got two earmarks. One of those earmark funds will be added to the ferry system, so the third ferry construction. And then another one will be allocated to the paratransit maintenance facility. So those are the four amendments, and we also have some administrative modifications, including the Back River Bridge. We have just changed the funding code, And there are also several projects that we amended into the TIP in December. GDOT assigned the new PI numbers. So you can see including Chatham County studies. So they now have the PI numbers. So if you want to see more details on the amendments, I'm just listing them over here. So this is Talmadge Bridge. The total cost is about $175 million. It's moving into 2024. And then for the Lazaretto Creek, you can see the right of way. The funding code doesn't change, and it will be moved into fiscal year 2024. And it's using the HEAP money, it's infrastructure, highway infrastructure program money. So we did confirm with GDOT the money will lapse on September 2024. So we still have some time. So basically, we still have about 1 year to have these funds authorized before they lapse. And if there's any danger of the funding lapsing, we will allocate some other funding sources. The construction cost estimate doesn't change, but it's in a later year. The CAD project, the third water ferry system, the earmark funds that we got is about $1.8 million. And CAT is working with GDOT to get in the state fund of $3 million. And then the CAT will come up with $3.15 million. So the total cost for this one is about $8 million. And then for the paratransit maintenance facility, the earmarked funds that we get is about $2.25 million. And the CAT will have to come up with the local match about $6.25 million. So for now, and I will just finish my presentation and we can open the public hearing and then you can just ask questions.
All right, now, do any board member have any questions?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
What year is the construction in? Is it 25 or is it just in the next TIP?
It is definitely in the next TIP because GDOT did send us the projected revenues for the next 4 years and then the proposed project list, that project is in the next TIP, yeah, in the proposed project list.
In the 25 year
of
the TIP?
I think it's in 2025 or 2026, yeah.
That's really no change then to the overall plan. It's just they're formalizing it in the TIP.
Yeah, currently, in the current TIP, they are both in fiscal year 2023. So
right away acquisition, yeah, we knew that money.
Right away, actually, both right away and construction in 2023. But apparently, we are not going to make it this year.
Right, yeah. Okay. All right, so 2025 is what I can report back to my board.
I think 2025, yeah, but I will double check and confirm.
Thank you.
That and make sure we give him the right data.
Yeah.
Okay. And make sure they understand now it's in the 2023, but time is short and we can't start construction by June. And we get ready, yeah, all right. Well, but I just want to make sure that the citizens who are hearing and then those others understand exactly what's going on here. And when she talks about moving it, all right, because we don't want nobody to think that we're kicking the can down the road. We're not kicking the can. We just want to save the money. Can't have no lapsing going on, all right?
Okay. Yeah.
So anything else now? All right. Not hearing anything from the board. May I have a motion to open up the public hearing?
So moved.
DJ Cody, second.
Second that we open up the public hearing. Ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my right.
Ayala, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
And the chairman, yes. Having been recognized, we are in public hearing. Is there anyone who has signed up online? Any raised hands? All right, anyone in the audience who care to speak on this item? We have none. All right, let me have a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Palumbo, second.
And properly motion is second that we close the public hearing. You're ready for the question? Please signify by your vote, starting with my left.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Jim Ayala, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes. The Public hearing is closed. Now, let me ask, I tried to get you some help. Come on. I tried to get you some help because I was trying to get those folks from the Ports Authority to be here today with you. All right.
Yes, sir.
But I know you can handle it, but I was just trying to get them to be your backup. But we couldn't connect yesterday. There are a lot of questions that are floating and coming. All right. And so there are some things that I'm strictly talking about the Talmadge Bridge. All right.
Yes, sir.
And now let me make sure I'm on solid ground. Do I need to open up public hearing on that?
Yes, I will tell you that James McCurry is online.
Oh, he is? Okay. Online. James is on the line?
Yes.
All right, good. You must have saw where I called you yesterday. He ain't not responding. All right, so now, we're in good shape to go ahead and let him make a presentation and then open it up for any board questions and then open up the public hearing. Is that the solid ground I'm on? All right. Okay. Thank you. Jamie's backing you up somewhere on the line. Jamie, you can hear us?
Yes, sir. Thank you. They had me muted. I was trying my best to support you and everybody else, but I was muted, which is what I deserve for not talking to you yesterday. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, Jamie, we're going to have the report, and then if you want to make any comments as we go along, then we do that. Then we'll open up the public hearing, okay?
Yes, sir.
I just want you to know what we're doing. The floor is yours.
Hello today. My name is Ron Nelson, and I work for Georgia DOT, the Office of Alternative Delivery. And this project, which is the Talmadge Bridge cable replacement project, and it's better known as our PI number 0019219. It's the construction manager, general contractor, US 17 State Route 404 spur bridge major maintenance project is the way we're describing it. So GDOT lingo. So the project will replace the cables, which are needed as far as being replaced over the course of the time that has been in place since 1991, I do believe, in that time frame. And it'll be using specialized techniques associated with that's peculiar to the cable stay bridge structure, which is what we have. And we're focusing directly on replacement of those cables and as an incidental benefit, moving towards raising the span over the shipping channel. We're anticipating around 20 feet from where it currently resides in its current elevation. And ultimately, we are moving through procurement at this point in time, and we are attempting to procure a designer of record, the construction manager, general contractor. And then there's another procurement that will be ongoing as well for an independent cost estimator. And that is associated with the current calendar year. And we're looking to have the designer of record on board somewhere in the August 2023 timeframe. And the construction manager, general contractor letting is in December of 2023. So that'll put us into the what we call construction side. Once we actually award and have a contract with a CMGC, we'll be in construction and we'll move through final design and start the construction activities soon thereafter in the course of FY24.
All right, anything else?
No, sir.
Jamie, anything you want to add? I'm coming.
Only that it's a very innovative project and in so much as the cables have to be replaced anyways, to be able to do so in a way that gets critical additional air draft clearance for the larger ships, it's seemingly a no-brainer. So we're excited to see the effort on this and looking forward very much to a successful project.
All right. Let me have now any questions for our board members. All right, Mr. Kegler, I'm coming.
As I think the information we received that we understand the cable replacement, and that's a part of normal maintenance. But in raising the deck, y'all plan to do that with no minimal disruption of traffic?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. I'd like to see that innovation.
He don't want the traffic call headache. That's what that's about.
Understood. Understood.
All right, that covers you.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ms. Bernard.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I was just wondering, so does this mean that the breads won't have to be replaced later?
I can't speak on behalf of that, no, ma'am. I'm sorry.
That
particular project is a major maintenance project. As far as the type of future replacements, things of that nature, I'll leave that to people far above my pay grade.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering because, sure, you know, there, I know there was a study to look at it, mm-hmm, at replacing the breads.
Right.
And it was going to be very costly. And then I didn't know if this was like supposed to be like a short-term solution in the interim or if this actually replaced.
And I would just go back to the maintenance portion of it. So maintenance is required. So here we are performing maintenance on the bridge.
Thank you.
Sure.
Jamie, can you speak to our conversations in the meetings that we've had about replacement?
Sure.
Desire is now. I didn't say it was going to happen. Desire is. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, so the getting an additional 21 feet of envelope clearance, if you will, that's some of our terminology, allows for the biggest ships that are currently considered for the East Coast to come under the bridge. If the project as described, the cable replacement allows for a 21 foot higher envelope, meaning the space under which the ships would actually pass, then it really would set the Port of Savannah up for the largest ships that could be expected to call for the foreseeable future, but not in perpetuity. So the question of whether there would ever need to be a new bridge or a tunnel or some other crossing is still a real question, but this definitely does buy a significant amount of time, potentially, a perpetual opportunity, but those things will remain to be seen as time moves on. But again, in so much as it's a maintenance project, and perhaps doing it this way is slightly more expensive than simply replacing the cables as they are, it is drastically less expensive than embarking at this stage on a total replacement. So I think this gets us as much time as could be hoped for.
Okay, did that answer your question? It's still on the table. All right, they're still talking about replacing it.
Someday.
We don't know what that day is. All right.
Maybe.
Now, I have any more questions from board members? No questions for board members. May I have a motion to open up public hearing?
I make a motion to open a public hearing.
Palumbo, second.
Been properly motioned and second that we open up the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes by speaking to my left.
Vivian Canizares, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Tim Callanan, yes.
Edric Cody, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Aiello, yes.
The chairman, yes. The public hearing is now open. Are there any hand raises on the screen? All right, no hand raises. Anyone in the audience want to ask any questions about the bridge and the bridge raising? None? All right.
One question that we hear a lot is, what's the final height going to be once the bridge is finally complete?
The number that we're using is to raise it 20 feet regarding elevation, and the current clearance at high tide is 185 feet. So we're looking at the 205-foot plateau.
For total
height.
That
was what we're current, yes, ma'am, adding that 20 feet to that
mean
high tide number. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
That's in the maintenance part of it, right?
Yes, sir.
That's when we do the cables and raise. That's the,
yes, sir.
That's the temporary fix. Now, that long-term fix is a whole different animal, all right? Okay, so I want to make sure we're
talking about this project here.
Right, this project. That's what I want to make sure. I want to make sure we don't get the two confused.
Yes, sir.
All right, what's being talked about for the future and what's actually going to happen with procurement and stuff that starts in August, you say?
We're in procurement now.
All right, you're in procurement now. So something comes off in August?
That's we're looking for a designer of record to come on board in August of 2023.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I just want to make sure. So
that's fine. Just as I said, we get that question a lot.
Right.
As people talk about it. So I wanted to have some idea with regards to response to give to them. And then the other question that we get is, will the public be allowed to participate in looking, you know, once you start your procurement, if you narrow it down to the top three designs or whatever, is that going to be an open process or is it something that the ports will make a decision on and keep moving?
The Georgia Department of Transportation is handling all procurement on this project.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell them go to DOT website and find out how to get into the procurement process.
That's fine. These minutes are on our website, so if people have questions about it, they can listen to what the responses are. So that's why I'm asking the person. Right. Thank you so much.
For any questions over there, don't call the chairman's office.
I have a question.
Chairman going to refer them. I'm going to throw Jamie under the bus.
I understand.
Question, right, Chairman. Will other ships still be able to travel through while we're doing the work to the bridge?
Yes, sir. There'll be no stop in traffic in the waterway itself.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
On the roadway or the waterway?
Correct.
All right. Ms. Bernard?
Sorry, just one more question. What's the anticipated, the estimated cost for that project?
I believe the money that has actually been appropriated is $175 million as far as what the cost is, yet to be determined. So we're looking at a budget at this point.
All right. Everybody understand that we're working with $175 million. All right, but then there's other costs that may come up later.
Yes, sir.
Okay. They call it change orders.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question too.
Sure.
So with the bridge raised by 21 feet, would it impact the reach from the north side and south side? I mean, more community, will more land would be required for that?
We're currently moving through analysis when it comes to anything associated with impacts to right away, so that's yet to be determined at this point in time.
The short answer.
Fully determined.
Right. The short answer is we don't know. all that's being done as they go through this process. All right. Any other questions now? That's all the public hearing. All right. May I have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second, Tanya Milton.
Probably motion and second that we close the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please signify by voting starting at my left.
Vivian Canizales, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Tim Callanan, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes. The public hearing is closed. Now, is there any other action needed to be taken here? No other actions, okay? We can move on? All right, now, let me ask now, because there are several other phases to where we are now, Wacota. We've covered everything we need to cover as far as CAT is concerned, like Lazaretta Creek and whatever else.
Do anybody have questions about the CAT projects, the water ferry, and then the paratransit maintenance facility?
Let me ask this about the ferry now. Are we up against the deadline for June with the ferry as well? Or is not up against it? You know, you talked about the lapsing in June coming. We're in April 9th.
These are the new earmark funds that we just got. No, you're not facing the lapsing problems.
Okay. So, Ms. Faye, can you all give us a status update of where you all are with this?
On this one, sir, or all the ferries?
On the ferries.
Okay. So we've got two ferries right now that are in construction. We expect to take delivery of those within about the next 16 months or so. We also have got this earmark, and some, matching funds from the state, along with our own funds that are going to enable us to do the third ferry, which, you know, three of the four need to be replaced now. As soon as the state funding in this is formalized, and we get that contract, then it is our intention to go ahead and get a get this into procurement as well. So we're going to have three ferries in production in very short order.
All right. And now I want to ask you to do the same thing. Now, see, I know, okay, because I get the information, but I want to make sure all the board members know, and I want to make sure as many folks in the public know what is happening with that. All right. Because we just got the, I think you all covered it well, but we just got the inquiry. The ACCG is coming this weekend, and there were some questions about the transportation back to and fro. All right. And something, one of the ferries was under repair, or you were waiting on the part. She's supposed to get that part today, isn't it?
We are, sir.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure that we are knowledgeable of what we're talking about, because folks turn around and ask us.
Well, there is no doubt that, and we actually said this in a meeting yesterday with our board, that the Marine Services is just an incredibly vulnerable part of our operations right now. And also an incredibly visible part of our operations, even when there's not an ACCG in town, but when those kinds of events occur, even more so. And you're correct, we are expecting the parts today, and then we'll have two ferries operational. Normally, right now, we're in a condition of one, which is not a good thing, but we always have a what we call a bus bridge, which just means we've got bus service ready to go in the event that the ferry service is impacted in a way that it's either overwhelmed by demand or something happens with one of the ferries. We're running the bus back and forth to make sure that we can connect people to Hutchison Island. But we expect to have two ferries Thursday morning, and we'll provide another update to you on that email that you already saw, Chairman. We'll provide another update to you today later as soon as we know those parts are not only here but installed.
All right. Make sure you copy the folks at Savannah Visitors Bureau, or Visit Savannah, I should say. That's the correct name, because they're the ones who are inquiring of me what that is. And so I just want to make sure that the board is abreast of what the status is and where we are, in case they get questions, all right, especially the folks from the city of Savannah, in case they get questions about this weekend and then where we are and how we are, okay?
Absolutely. Right?
Anything else?
If nothing else, the staff would like to request that the board approve the proposed TIF amendments.
All right. Anything else? May I have a motion to approve?
DJ Cody, approve.
Beta Massimo, second.
Probably motion and second that the request be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please signify by voting, starting to my right.
Aiello, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Tim Callanan, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Vivian Cunningham, yes.
All right, and then Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving the agenda right along.
Okay. The next agenda item is for the new TIF development. Sean has already asked about the Let's Ride a Creek Bridge, whether it will be included in the new TIF. The answer is yes. GDOT actually sent us the proposed revenues for the next 4 years. And then also the proposed project list. The TCC has gone through, and we already had a coordination meeting between all the local jurisdictions, local project sponsors, and we are going to have another meeting because we do need to do some kind of financial balance. So the TCC will probably have another meeting or special TCC members or project managers probably next week. We're going to schedule that. But just want to let you know, this is the overall development status. So we did receive the information, and we are going through the TIF prioritization process in April, and hopefully we will finalize the financial, resolve all the financial balance information, and then we will have a draft TIF developed in May. That will be in time for FHWA GDOT and FTA review in June, and then we will have a 30-day public review and comment period, and then we will come back to this board. So you will see what's to adopt the new TIF. But in June, you will see the proposed list. So we will keep you in the loop. So this is just the overall schedule for that. Our participation plan says that we have to have, because we are still at the early stage of TIF development, Our participation plan says that we need to have at least one public meeting to talk about deprioritization. So we have this report, and all of the CEC, TCC, and ACAT meetings, and so all these meetings are open to the public, and we did get some comment on those, so we are trying to address comments. What I'm proposing over here is not just a tip priority list, so I'm just trying to propose an approach, because when you see the tip, you see normally you focus on the specific highway project or specific transit projects. You don't see there are also other projects included. They're included under like lump sum. So those would be including maintenance projects or operational improvements. And you occasionally see bike path projects, because that's when you have a project sponsor. So we just want to be more comprehensive with this approach. So because the TIP is a subset of the long-range transportation plan, and our current one is 2024, and in our long-range transportation plan, we did have a prioritization process. So all of the projects included in the long-range transportation plan have gone through that two screening process by needs or by environmental. So they have gone through that. And the highest priority projects are already landed in cost band one, which are corresponding to the TIP. So we just want to say, if long-range transportation plan have already decided those are the like cost band one, those are high priority projects, we will still recognize, we acknowledge those are still high priority projects. And we also have a non-motorized transportation plan that goes through bicycle and pedestrian trail projects, and that plan also has a prioritization process. So you might have like hundreds of projects, like because bike path projects are smaller. So they do have a prioritization process. So you will see those rankings as well. So if those projects are identified in the non-motorized transportation plan as priorities, and then they have a project sponsor, we will acknowledge their priority as well. And the third part, the transit priorities, because we don't control. CAT sometimes applies to the Y230 money, which we control, but most of the time they use 5303 funds, 5307 funds, 5339, 5337 funds. So we don't control those, but CAT does have a prioritization process as well. So their consultant is here. They're going to talk about the master transit plan. So their master transit plan is like our long-range transportation plan. So we incorporate their recommendations, and their transit development plan is basically a short range plan. So we accommodate those in the TIP. So I just want to list these transit priorities as well. Even if we, the MPO is not, I wouldn't say not involved, but it's just that we are not the major party to rank all those transit priorities, transit projects. So we will acknowledge the CAT process, because they have already gone through those. So just want to acknowledge those. And the GDOT is doing the operational improvements and maintenance projects, and they do have a procedure. So as identified, if there's a needs identified, they actually do propose a project. And they have a procedure that is adopted or approved by the GDOT Transportation Board. So we acknowledge that as well. But with the money that we control, we use Y230, we control Y230, we control 301 transportation alternative funds, and then HIP funds, and a newer part of money called carbon reduction. So we will definitely have our ranking. So our ranking might be correlated to whatever already included, I've already mentioned, in those like long-range plan, non-motorized transportation plan, and the transit projects. So we go through our process. We do the call for projects. So we have all these rankings. And this is the list over here shows the last round of call for project, last round of a competitive project selection process. So you can see project during ranked number one, and I-95 at Everest Avenue ranked number two. That's for the Y230 funds, for example, like this. But this also just gave us it just gives us a basis to allocate funds. Doesn't mean Project Durian will get all of the funds, because Project Durian might not need funds in 2024. They might need funds in 2026 or 2025. So we will use this as a basis to allocate funds, but the eventual allocation of funds is based on the revenue availability and the financial balance. So just want to let you know, and this is from last year. And there's another one that I just talked about is the carbon reduction program. This is a new program. Some of these projects actually might be eligible for the carbon reduction. So that's what our meeting, the TCC special meeting will do. So we will see whether any of those projects can use if we have a like negative balance. So maybe we can use the carbon reduction program. But eventually the carbon reduction guidelines wouldn't be out until September. So if we find out some of these projects not eligible, and then we still have all these funds to allocate funds for, we probably will have to do another call for project. So we will have another prioritization process probably later this year if we cannot allocate all of the funds. So I just want to let you know. So if we do this call for project, and those selected will be considered priorities as well. And those new projects, if there are any new projects, they will be amended into the TIP. Because by that time, we'll probably already adopt this new TIP. So those new projects will be amended to the TIP. So basically, this is the prioritization approach that we are proposing. We will just ask for your comment and endorsement and probably approval. Any questions?
Do we have any board members who have a question?
I do.
Okay.
Can you tell me a little bit more, give me the status of what we're doing with Project Duran?
It's to be honest with you, I did create a worksheet, the financial balance, Y230 and Y301. So I sent all the local project sponsors just to fill in your information, just to tell us your needs. So Chatham County did theirs, and Pam just sent me the updated information of Project Duran. I didn't get any information from the city. This round that we did last year, from August to September, we did a couple projects. They did apply for funds, about $1.2 million, but it doesn't say which year they need the funds for, and for what phase. So we just don't know. We definitely need somebody from the city who can help us on this. So I saw
Roger that.
Ms. Plumbo, yeah.
I'm going to help you put them on the spot, okay? So they don't say you threw them under the bus, but they can blame me, right?
That's right.
Mr. Sharehouse, you hear that? All right, you sitting in this meeting now. You and Mr. Palumbo here. Who else is here from the city? MPO need the information. They don't have it. She's asking for questions, but they don't have the information that didn't come from you all.
Yes.
Get on the stick.
Yeah, we want to help you to move this project along, but we don't know how, because when you apply for the funds, you don't even let us know, like, for what phase and for which year. We don't know.
Do I need to call for a meeting for us?
It sounds like we are still at phase one. Nothing has been done except a lot of conversation.
Well, see, no, you can't say that. Let me tell you why you can't say that.
Okay.
Because we don't know what the city has done. We don't know what the city has in their informational bank. All right. You don't have it. But we don't know what they have. That's the point that Wakota is making for the MPO. We don't have the information because the city didn't give it to us. All right.
And Mr. Chairman.
And she doesn't have it. So I'm putting those two, the two representatives who are here, y'all getting thrown under the bus.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just for a moment, as I feel the bus chasing behind me, I'm about to go under the wheel well. I have a shovel and some leftover asphalt in my own car ready to begin this project on my own if need be. My understanding as of our latest update is that the federal environmental standards and requirements had changed mid-process.
It did.
And we're unable to get clearances and permitting from federal DOT. We had testified in front of the Federal Permitting Council to ask for some relief from their executive director. However, they've yet to get back to us. We will absolutely personally follow up with our team and our transportation engineers to get you a thorough update to make sure that you have the latest and the greatest. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Sharehouse, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joseph Sharehouse with the City of Savannah. I think Alderman Palumbo did an excellent job of answering the question, but just to add a little more context for you, Commissioner Milton. The Project Duren process is within the environmental justice phase of the NEPA process. And that particular phase was delayed a little bit with a change in the administration, the federal administration. So the requirements changed on us midstream, which has delayed our record of decision, which is the document we need from Federal Highway for us to move forward into right-of-way acquisition. So unfortunately, we don't have a substantive update of this particular period. It's the same as 2 months ago when this board met, is we're still waiting on a record of decision from Federal Highway for the environmental justice phase of the NEPA process.
Thank you, sir. If you'll just make sure that I get a copy of that when you get it ready.
Yes, ma'am, of course. Thank you.
And since I threw you under the bus, I'm going to make sure the tie is not flat, okay? You all have to understand, the federal government don't do nothing fast, all right? And it's going to take them whatever it's going to take them. And you can, and listen, it might have been, but you have to remember, too, now, how many administrations have we changed in the last 20 years? And every time you change your administration, they come in with a new policy or a new procedure that they put in, and that kind of kicked the can further down the road. So even though we look for the city to get the information to the MPO, we want to make sure that they could have it not only on the city's website, but also on the MPO's website, but not also on the Metropolitan Planning Commission website, so that we can answer those questions, all right? So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying and doing what I'm doing, is because in their process, okay, you're not going to hurry up the federal government, all right? And see the hurry up for us, or we would like for them to go ahead and do it, is y'all know next year is an election year. And you mess around and things change next year, we'll be under another bus and another gun, all right? And so that's why I'm making sure that we understand these points, because the citizens who live in that area, they bombard. That's why Commissioner Milton is asking, because they bombard her and she doesn't know. And they call and we don't know, because Wakoda and Ms. Wilson and those can't answer the question, and I can't answer the question, but I get the calls, all right, because I sit in that chair seat. And it's if we can have what you have as far as information is concerned, then we can do more of what we need to do as far as answering the general public about what's going on, especially with the Duren project. Now, let me say this while I'm speaking, and you can come back up, Wakoda, so you'll be ready. I need for all of you to look on your projects list, all right? Now, because there is, when are we pointing towards or guesstimate when we're going to have a public hearing?
Public hearing for?
Yeah, when we get
for the new TIP?
Yeah.
Probably in August.
All right, probably in August. And the reason I'm asking that question is because of this. We talk about the Duren project. We can talk about the Airway Avenue projects, but there are other projects on here on this list, including what CAT is doing. All right. What CAT is doing with your consultants who are here and things. You need to make sure that we coordinate that together. See, so that when they come, if they come to the public hearing to ask about any of these projects, and I'm just picking one, the Green Island or the Girard Avenue or the Chevis Road or the Chinatown or whatever, if they come to ask those questions about at the public hearing, or they come to ask about what CAT is doing at the public, they gonna need to have the information. That's my point for what I'm saying and what I'm doing, all right? Is to make sure that they have the information so that we can do this thing smoothly, because we get to a place where questions are asked and we don't have the answers. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Damasio, if I said
Chairman,
that right.
Chairman, CAT would respectfully request that we find an analogy that's not about folks under the bus.
Especially with flat tires.
Yeah. I have another question.
Fully, sorry.
Okay, I got it. Mr. Milton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. More important than my constituents asking questions is the emergency services that are coming down 516 that can't get to the hospitals. I mean, that has been an ongoing situation that it needs to seem to me. I don't know how many lives we've lost because they can't, because nobody can move when they come off 516. Nobody can move. And time is life. So I just want to make some more, put some urgency on. I know the administration changes and all of that, and we have to wait on federal, but I'll tell you that I've been in that area for over 30 years, and it's been a conversation for 30 years.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make that point.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think whenever we spend, even we use $1 of federal dollars and we have to follow the federal rules. But if we do it like have a T-SPLOST, we have all of the money, you can just build it with local money. That would be much faster. Yeah. But unfortunately, we don't have that money. So
that's a commercial. Go ahead and say that again.
Mr. Chairman.
If we have what?
If we have passed T-SPLOST, right?
Mr. Chairman, if I
didn't catch your balance, did I? You mentioned something that we could use local funds by having a what?
Have a T-SPLOST?
Oh, okay. That's the commercial.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
Y'all hear that? If we put the T-SPLOST in place, we probably could speed this stuff up.
I'm not trying to advertise.
No, I'm not saying. No, but listen. but what we must understand now, what we must understand is understand the process and the truth of the light, all right? The truth of the thing will set you free. If you're using federal dollars, you're going to have to go by their guidelines. I mean, you can't sit in a room and make up rules and use them federal dollars because they won't allow you to do that. But if we had local control with local funds, then we can move projects, what, faster. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think we did have one project before that GDOT actually used the House Bill 170 funds.
Right.
So we don't follow the NEPA process, we follow the GEPA process, the Georgia environmental process, which move the project faster as well. So,
Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
Yes, on behalf of the city of Savannah, I'm speaking as myself and not as the city, because this is a comprehensive and difficult decision about where to prioritize these funds. But the only thing that I will add is that, you know, the city has pledged tens of millions of dollars through successive SPLOST initiatives from the general fund and from our capital budget. If we are to pursue this at the local level, it is imperative that we understand that a city our size has no ability to pursue a transportation initiative to this degree on its own.
Right.
I do believe that it's a noble concept to pursue this at the local level, because as we've seen, it gets tied up in red tape, administrations change, and the people suffer because we refuse to invest in this initiative because we literally cannot. But if we are to choose a local pathway, I ask that we do prioritize the boulevard concept and begin at the city itself, where residents will see this relief. We continue to grow and expand with auto-driven development that makes our roads more congested. If we are concerned about traffic and alleviating emergency services, I encourage us to prioritize transit-oriented development from here, today, tomorrow, and for the time being, so that we can get these resources through. And we will have a decision tree to make, and I encourage our senior leadership to get together on how we're going to prioritize this before we bring this discussion up again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the input.
All right. Anything else?
No, nothing. So we'll be just a staff will request that the board approve the proposed deprioritization approach.
All right. May I have a motion to approve, please?
I make a motion to approve the approach for establishing the tip priorities and a proposed priority list.
Second. All right. There's a proper motion and second that we approve the tip. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote, starting to my left.
Vivian Gonzalez, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Tim Callinan, yes.
Idris Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Aiello, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Moving right along.
The next agenda item is the 2050 MTP update. I really don't have that much to report on this one, except to say that we are still developing the socio-economic data to support the travel demand model. We submitted the 2050 SE data to GDOT. I got some comments. We addressed those comments. And then they actually sent us additional comments last week. So we're going to work on those. So that's the report for the MTP. And the other related item is that like some contributing plans are still moving along, including the regional freight plan update, urban flooding model, and CAT master transit plan, and US 80 corridor study. And then the Chatham County will do the 204 US 17. So those are moving along. But I'm just going to talk about the regional freight plan update a little bit because we are already finished with task 2, 3, 4, 5. So we are done with the freight needs assessment, land use, freight land use assessment, economic development assessment, and then community impact scan. We actually had a public meeting. It was well attended in March. So all of the deliverables are posted on this website, and they're very well written. And the next step is for the consultant to come up with the recommendations. So in June, we will have a ADFAC meeting. We will have a public meeting, and the consultant will also present to you all about the recommendations. And those recommendations will include land use recommendations, policy recommendations, and project recommendations. So just want to let you know, and this project is on schedule, and all the deliverables are very excellent, I would say, very well written. So that's my report on the freight plan update. Any questions?
All right, questions from any board member? All right.
The next item, so I will ask Caitlin to come forward. Just want to let you know that Jasmine left MPC, so Caitlin is temporarily assuming the management for this project.
Is that right?
She got stolen by the feds.
The feds did that?
Yes, they did.
Can we hold them accountable?
I wish we could.
All right.
All right, good morning. So I will provide an update on the progress of the urban flooding model study. So stakeholders and steering committee members have been identified by both UGA and core MPO staff to assist in the development of the FMT and develop a dedicated website that is live and up to date. The project manager participates in monthly meetings. Task one, the UGA team has submitted the project management plan, and task two, stormwater infrastructure data was collected and QA/QC'd. Stormwater data has been organized and migrated into Esri GIS format. 2019 Georgia LIDAR derived DEM was acquired the USACE South Atlantic Coastal Study, ADCIRC storm surge and inputs, and conducted a storm surge simulation. Core MPO received and shared critical infrastructure data for each county in the MPO planning area. This data will help develop the vulnerability map analysis. There was a TCC meeting last Wednesday or Thursday, April 20th, where the consultants gave a presentation providing their updates. That presentation is attached to this agenda. I don't know if we've got anybody online today to address anything or present anything for the group today. So I will do my best to answer any questions that may arise. Otherwise, you can definitely check out the their latest presentation.
Can you summarize what went on? I mean, what was the discussion in the meeting?
We went over this, and then this group went over. I can just open this up.
Okay.
There was a team presentation, and different groups went over, kind of going over their goals of developing their project prioritization tool. They want to get an existing infrastructure and new infrastructure to improve the reliability and resiliency of the planning. So they just kind of went over some of their objectives. and then talked about their stormwater management model. Application process and just where they're at with data collection. This is not my realm of expertise, so I'm sorry I don't have a more in-depth explanation of some of this, but just to kind of provide a visual.
I will tell you that Melanie Wilson, Executive Director, one of the things that they spent time talking about, and we will have them at the next meeting to do a more detailed presentation to you all in person, was where they are with regards to the vulnerability assessment, and they went into a little bit more technical detail than you probably would want to know. But we had a pretty good conversation, and Les, as you know, is the chair of the TCC regarding some of the areas where you've got more vulnerability than others. They talked about development and development patterns and how that impacts, of course, stormwater management as well as the road infrastructure, some discussion with regards to sea level rise and how that's impacting our infrastructure. And I had an additional conversation with them about the financial components with regards to having these choke points as development occurs and they're attaching to existing infrastructure. You know, is the current infrastructure able to handle the vast amount of new development that has to attach to it, looking at those choke points, things of that nature. So they're looking at a variety of things, and we'll be back to do a presentation in person to you all as the policy committee.
Okay. The presentation you're talking about, and are we including, like, for instance, when you're talking about the vulnerability of stormwater surge and the rest of it, are we including the folks at Tyree, at Fort Pulaski, at City of Savannah?
All of them are part of our stakeholder group, and right. They are all, from the standpoint of the consultants having conversations with them, yes, we're definitely talking and making sure that they are part of this process.
All right. And you included the county staff. This comes under Michael, doesn't it?
It was.
They're included?
Yes.
They're included?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now, what I'm trying to make sure is that, and listen, I don't try to ask questions that I'm the know-it-all, but the information do flow through me. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that they understand that as we do this process, that we are looking at the whole county as well as...
We're looking at all the jurisdictions that are currently in our MPO boundaries.
Right.
And,
yes, right.
And surrounding area. They all have had stakeholders that have been part of this process, so we have not done it in a bubble.
Right. Well, you know, I get the question, you all are doing studies and you all are doing this about stormwater, but what you're doing in my area? You understand what I'm saying? And that's just not coming from folks in Chatham County, but from folks that are all in the MPO's umbrella. Okay, so I want to make sure that the information get out to them that Mr. Fussell and those are doing that and including them and want them to be a part. So who they need to get in touch with and who they need to talk to, right?
Yes.
Rather than piling up the questions and then asking me to come up with an answer for them on the telephone.
And one of the good things about going through this is that we are looking at the infrastructure and the vulnerability that currently exists. That's what this is. So it's more than just looking at some of the stormwater. It's looking at a variety of things and looking at where those impacts are. And I'm hoping that the second phase of this, if there's funding available, will go into more detail to cover the areas that will be included in the new proposed boundaries for the MPO, as well as some of the areas that are most adversely impacted by the runoff, and that's the infrastructure that's there, and hopefully coming up with better standards that we ask the developers and others to use when putting in not only roadways, but, you know, bike trails, walking trails, other infrastructure that is region-wide.
And if I may, I'll caveat that this study is not complete.
Right.
We actually were kind of time limited during our TCC meeting. I actually met with the engineers and presenters afterwards because there were some elements that I thought were missing, such as the Richmond Hill stormwater and
right.
where we're at today with our water. They had not included that in the study. They said they were, but anyway, we are connecting with them. We're going to work with Effingham as well because Effingham's data was not represented in the presentation. So this is not a, I will just tell you, it was a fabulous presentation. And it highlighted that for stormwater, there's drainage pipes that are no longer adequate to move water off of the floodplain. A lot of that is because of hard surfaces development. Mm-hmm. I thought what was probably the most interesting was the vulnerability based on, you know, that perfect storm of rainfall, hurricane, storm surge, and elevation of roads and the amount of, and we all talk about it every time there's a hurricane, you know, what is going to be accessible. And that was also highlighted for emergency response. You know, how do we navigate using the highest roads to get to a certain point should there be an emergency? So the data will be shared, and I think it'll be very comprehensive. They come back June, I think. They come back in June, and they're supposed to be complete.
They'll be back in June, and I've asked them to make sure that we've got a little bit more detailed information regarding the financial model.
And it will probably be a good idea at the conclusion when they're finished to make that presentation to the MPO board. So we're, you know, we do have sometimes a little bit more representation at the MPO versus the TCC, and make sure that we have this shared as broadly as we can.
Okay. $64,000 question I'm going to put on the table. All right. And that is the new development that's happening on the northern side of Bryan County, i.e. the Hyundai and its spinoff companies that are coming on that side that will creep into both Chatham County and Effingham County. How is that going to affect us? Are we including that?
Right now, the way that the contractor, the RFP went out, it included the current core boundaries. As I said, as we look at expanding it, and we've got a brief presentation that will show you where we're proposing to expand the boundaries, we will go further out, and that will capture the new plant as well as other areas of the community in Bryan County as well as in Effingham County. That we will pull in, but we're starting to get the Effingham's been great with regards to sharing their information with us. And you know, we hope to have that data that we can make sure that we share with them as well as we go further into both counties.
Well, I just asked that question because, he may need to have conversations with the development authority in Bryan County. As we go through that process.
I will start with the county engineer.
Okay.
I have that based on the expansion of the MPO boundaries. I'm going to have that conversation hopefully next week, and that'll be a topic that I can bring up.
Okay.
And when we spoke with the representative that the county manager,
Aldridge,
sent because you know he was on the economic development trip. You know, we talked about a variety of issues, this being one. There's an incredible amount of growth that has taken place in Bryan County, and a lot of growth that's starting to happen in Effingham as well. So we're hoping that with that new information and with having some additional standards that we can share with them, we can start having things that are done with regards to addressing some of the infrastructure issues that we know are going to happen from the standpoint of that development.
And again, as your chairman of the MPO, as well as the chairman of the county, I'm in meetings where these things are being discussed. And so I'm letting the other board members know that they're in discussion as well. Because when you look at it, on the west side, Bloomingdale, Pula, Port Wentworth, Garden City, and somebody I'm forgetting. Who else? Yeah. All of them are going to be impacted by this. And I think it's like, now is the time we need to get ready. Because if we don't get ready,
that's right,
the citizens on the west side gonna case themselves into a perfect storm. All right. And so, you know, you're playing while before you need it, so that when you need it, you have it. And that's why I'm bringing up these conversations, to make sure that we have these people in who are a part of making those decisions. Okay.
And we will have the ability to do that more once you all make a decision with regards to where the boundaries are.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a moot conversation without having you all vote on the proposed boundaries.
Yeah.
That's the first step. There are other things that have to happen as a consequence of that, but the first step is having a boundary, and we will be having those conversations with Les and the engineer and the county manager.
Right. And the reason I mention that, I know who I left out in the city of Savannah.
Yeah.
Because they're on that west side too. All right. When we're talking about the Highlands and when we talk about the New Hampstead area and those kind of areas, that's why they need to know. I know the county is in with the unincorporated, but they need to know that they're on that side too, along with Pula and Bloomingdale and the rest of them. So it's more of an inclusive thing to me than anything else. All right.
Absolutely.
Right. Anybody else? Yes. You. Anybody else have something?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. If I could just add really quick.
Sure.
Concurrent to this study, Effingham County is actually conducting its own stormwater master plan,
right,
which we hope to be wrapping up towards the end of the summer. So if the boundary were to change, we'll have our models in place, and then we'll simply be able to share them with you as we get them finalized.
Okay. Yeah. See, and that brings it right
in.
Perfect.
No, I was just going to say that Tim shared that with us when we were on the phone with him, and I thought that that was absolutely amazing, and it will help us also from the, you know, their financial kind of pieces that I think everybody will want to know about what those costs are going to be, so that they can plan for them in their capital budgets in the future. So I'm glad that they're doing that. I was hoping that Bryan County was in the process of doing one as well, based on the amount of development activity. But I do know that that is something that their staff is thinking about and having, you know, thinking about for sure. Yes, they are.
So
I'll let you say that, sir.
And that's my point. Let you all start the conversation.
Right.
See, and then you all and get invited to the meeting so you can hear the conversation, and then you can have input. That's the reason for the expansion that's going to come up later. So I just want to make sure that the rest of the board members understand what is being done and how it's being done. All right. Not to put nobody on the spot. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, I forgot I'm supposed to use that as an analogy. Okay. Anything else now? Anything? Thank you. All right. Let's move right along.
The CAD actually has their consultant over here, so they would do the introduction.
Certainly. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present to the MPO board today. We've also presented to CAC and to TCC and have had an incredible amount of neighborhood representatives, stakeholder committee, public meetings, focus groups. And we've got an open house coming up on May 16th. So there's been a world of outreach and public engagement, also a lot of technical analysis. So we're appreciative of the opportunity to bring you up to date today on where we are. I want to take just a moment to introduce our newest staff member, Andrea Berksteiner, who's here today. We're excited. Andrea has joined us as a scheduler analyst. And then our consultant team that is here today, Denise Grabowski with Symbiosity, who's local Savannah consultant, and then also Amanda Vandergriff and Joshua Schrank, who are with InfoStrategies and just are incredible on the implementation strategy, financial strategy development piece. And you're going to hear a little bit about all of those in this overview today. So thank you.
All right, let me do this now. Let me do this because we started off this way and I want to stay in the same vein. All right. I'm not going to allow your consultant to do the right. If you all can't do it, she can't do it. All right. Same thing I did with Pula. All right. If you're going to make a report, then you make the report, not the consultant. And there are reasons for that.
I'm glad to do that, sir. Sure. And if there are some specific detailed questions that may get asked, some technical questions, I may refer to them to help answer some questions. Hopefully that is appropriate. Let's see. How do I run this? Oh, there we go. All right. Making sure you all are seeing what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on the screen.
All right. So project update today, we're going to include state of the system. There is both a state of the system and a market assessment report. Those are products that have already come out of this master plan effort that are posted on our website, and we would encourage you to go look at those. The recommended plan will come out at the end of this coming month in May, and our board will have a month, the community will have a month to consider all these recommendations that we've been working almost a year on with the community to develop. But you can see state of the system again on our, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. What are the strategies and opportunities, and what are our next steps? So there are three coordinated transit studies that are ongoing right now. The transit service plan, which is the short-term strategies, that's really like that nuts and bolts. They're analyzing routes, stops, shelters, those very short-term pieces and so forth of our system, and what are our opportunities there. And we have a very strong commitment in this upcoming FY24 budget at CAT to improvements to our stops and shelters. A transit trip starts at the stop. It actually starts even before that with how you get information about how to use our service, but certainly it starts at the stop, and we want those always to be dignified safe, reliable places for you to wait before you start your transit trip. But anyway, the transit service plan covers much of that as well, in addition to covering route analysis, how we're looking at fixed route, how we're looking at our paratransit services, the kinds of improvements we need to make, service modifications, including some of those that have already been underway for a bit. And then the master transit plan is the mid and longer term vision. And then the zero emissions bus plan is a part of how we manage our overall, that we have an electric vehicle fleet that we are continuing to grow. We've got 6 electric fixed route buses. We are taking delivery. As a matter of fact, we're taking delivery this week. They're coming in tranches of 10 electric paratransit vehicles. And then, of course, we've got our ferries that are on order hybrids. So the master plan development, there have been focus group discussions in February, small group discussions with residents, riders, and the focus on that was to kind of talk about, are we on the right track? How can we adapt strategies and so forth in ways that work better for you? Board and stakeholder meetings were in March, and we discussed and prioritized strategies and improvements. So we started talking about the what, and then we started moving into the how. So how, the funding piece and partnership piece and those kinds of things that actually make that what become a reality. We also have had stakeholder and community meetings that are continuing into May. And again, I would particularly call your attention to the May 16th, 4 to 7 p.m. There will be an open house for community leadership, elected officials, and business community leadership at CAT to begin to talk through some of these strategies and proposals that we have. So post-COVID CAT, the driver shortage is having a big impact on CAT bus ridership. We are impacted like every other transit system in the country, but frankly, like just the economy and hiring folks. I think every one of you could probably tell a story about the difficulties in hiring right now, finding candidates and so forth. So that driver shortage has continued to have a big impact on us. We have 8 core bus routes that carry 80% of all riders. And so the notion of how we think about our fixed route system and how we strengthen that system so that it performs at the highest level, how the corresponding paratransit works, and then a new service type, microtransit, that we're going to talk a little bit about, how that really begins to really strengthen our overall system at a much higher level of performance, a deeper reach in the community, and I think a stronger equity performance within the community. Partners have been the fastest growing areas are outside of CAT service area. Partners have been key to CAT success. I cannot talk enough about that, whether it's our partnership with Chatham County, our partnership with the City of Savannah. We're just about to June the 2nd, we are doing the ribbon cutting on a new service expansion in Garden City. We're incredibly excited about that. Our partnerships with GDOT, with some of the new funding opportunities with the Georgia Transit Trust Fund that they administer that came about this year for us, our federal partnerships, our partnerships with groups like SAMI and development and so forth is all incredibly important. You can't do anything without partnerships. Our most successful services are those that operate zero fare. So, for example, the DOT shuttle. That we know operates zero fare, and you know that historically operated pretty exclusively in the area of downtown and then around Forsyth Park. And this year, as a part of our service modification, even when we were doing service mods to address that operator shortage, so we were trying to provide this much service with this many drivers, so we adjusted so that we could be reliable in what we were providing. But in addition to that, we didn't just say it's not just about how we're sort of constraining to those kinds of limitations, but we want to be sure that we're taking advantage of opportunities. So we expanded the DOT service up to Victory, and we also expanded it over into two of the West Side neighborhoods. And we are very proud of that zero fare component of our overall system serving in those expanded areas now. Historic operating costs are rising faster than revenues, and historic underinvestment in capital means investments are needed. That's part of the reason why you heard earlier in the presentation here today, or early in the MPO deliberations here today, what's happening with why we're having to replace so many ferries at one time. You know, there was a historic underinvestment. And just lack of attention to capital. And we find that as well in our fixed route system, our big buses, and in our paratransit fleet. But we are also in process of modernizing and replacing those fleets as well. But it means we're having to take a big bite at one time, harder to do than if we had a more, you know, thoughtful and deliberate process that this master transit plan will help us to achieve in addition to achieving the meeting the needs of the community and the vision for the future. Driver shortages, again, we've mentioned this already, have had a big impact on ridership. We are just this past week, however, Chairman Cody knows, we reported on this at the board meeting, we had 11 new drivers start this week, 11 professional operators. I believe four of those were fixed and the remainder were para. But we're excited, you know, the paratransit drivers do not have to have a CDL. Which will also be true for the microtransit service expansion. And frankly, that's an easier hire to make. But we're excited about having a class that we graduate that starts that's of that size, if we can keep that kind of momentum going. And we're doing lots of different things, including looking at offering our own CDL training. We're doing some different approaches to recruitment. We're like everybody. We're trying all the different things that we can think of to try to, you know, bring those folks in. And we recruit, we have a open recruitment every single Friday at CAT. So current service levels make it harder to bring the riders back, but we are certainly working on addressing that. These are the eight core bus routes that carry 80% of all the riders. I know that as all of us here in the community, there's nothing probably about this that you didn't already recognize and know, but these are strong core bus routes and cover a substantial portion of our area. The transition of fixed route service to micro transit where it makes sense is a part of what we're thinking about. And so think about it this way. If we've got fixed route services out there that are fixed routes that are underperforming, but there's still folks there that have a need and they still need to have a transit service to be able. But if it's not just cost effective to continue to do it as fixed route, let's try a different tool. And microtransit, of course, is the smaller vehicles, looks more like what you traditionally see out right now with Cap Mobility in a paratransit vehicle, but outfitted a little differently. ADA compliant, but not outfitted exclusively for the use of those that are seniors or differently abled in our community that are our paratransit riders. So on-demand microtransit service operates within a zone, and so it feels very much like the Uber and Lyft of transit, because you're able to make the call, get picked up from a point, go to another point that you desire to go to, or connect to a fixed route if you're making a longer trip. Lots of transit systems across the country are engaged with, experimenting with microtransit right now, and the SMART grant that you all took approval actions on earlier today, and again, thank you very much, is a grant that is going to enable us to pilot that here in Chatham and look at what will work, what can work before we consider how this can really be a more system-wide expansion for us in those places where fixed route just really isn't the right tool to reach folks. Small investments in passenger facilities can make a big difference. We already talked about that. This is not only going to be a key component in the master transit plan, but it's going to be a key component even in our FY24 budget. We know the importance of making that place where the transit trip starts be one that is respectful and dignified and safe, and enables the rider to feel good about the choice to ride CAT. Fastest growing areas are outside of CAT service area. Again, I know that none of this are particularly, a newsflash to anyone, but there's so much new employment. We are in such a blessed place to have so much economic activity happening all around us. And the notion that connecting people to jobs, getting people to education, getting people to healthcare, those are primary focus areas for us. We know that that's how we can enable, raise the community. And that's a part of what CAT does. Partnerships have created some of CAT's most successful services. And we've mentioned some of these. CAT Mobility, of course, is a service that's across all of Chatham County and done in partnership with the county, and we're deeply appreciative of that. The Bells Ferry, we have funding in the ferries that are from the city, from the county, from SAMI, from now from the state. So we have lots of partnerships coming together there. And of course, then the dot shuttles, again, a partnership and a activity that we engage in with the city. But there's potential for additional partnerships. So we're having conversations now. One of the things I'll mention that's a part of that SMART grant is we have a 12 to 15 month, and we just met with them yesterday, internship for a senior in engineering technology major at Savannah State who will be a 15 to 20 per hour, 20 hours per week intern on that project the whole way through. What an incredible opportunity to engage with a partnership with Savannah State and with other education institutions in the community in how we help connect folks and, again, grow careers and grow prosperity in the community. Identify opportunities to expand the zero fare policy. Obviously, zero fare is a big topic nationally right now. I think that what we think right now is that zero fare needs to have a very intentional application in anything we do. We're not looking at a system-wide sort of thing necessarily, but what we are looking at is we know that that's worked well in certain areas, and we've talked about the DOT shuttle that serves the West Side neighborhoods, serves that sort of downtown and Forsyth area, and then up to Victory, and is connecting people in all kinds of different ways, both residents and visitors, of course. But we're looking at, where there's some other places where a zero fare expansion could be intentional and be of great value. And for example, one of those micro transit zones that's a part of that SMART grant There's two sort of that we're looking at right now, although none of these are finalized quite yet, but there's two sort of west side Chatham in areas that are underserved. But then there's also one on sort of the east side and east side of Savannah where we're looking at connecting, particularly into that tiny village where we have unhomed veterans that are there and the connections that they need to make. And we think that those are the kinds of things where maybe that those areas, there may be some other limited applications of zero fare that are appropriate and would grow the service and also expand our equity reach in the community. So transitioning from strategies to implementation, potential strategies and implementation ideas are draft right now. We are evaluating based on project goals, including equity. Equity is a primary goal for us, aligning the schedule based on funding and available resources and collecting additional feedback from all of those groups. Like I said, we've been engaged since last year in an extensive public outreach and community engagement process. We're very proud of, and there has been a lot of interest in the microtransit. There's also been interest in Commuter Express as a way to provide sort of point A to point B and tied to either an AM PM peak period or if it shifts like you might have at Hyundai, but tied to that kind of labor force movement. And we're working with our federal partners and our state partners on what that can look like. And there's been some interest in that as well. So the master transit plan strategies fall into sort of three buckets. Transit services, we want to increase service levels in a smart and effective way. Microtransit, the potential for bus rapid transit if there's corridors where that is well suited, and we're still looking at that. Express bus, which I just mentioned, particularly with regard to major employment centers like a Hyundai, or things like Wayfair and Amazon and those kinds of facilities. And then bus on shoulder, which would be a real coordination with largely in an interstate application and would be a real coordination point with GDOT. Capital investments, again, I can't stress those bus stop improvements enough. And mobility hubs, which is a way to establish places that help us to manage the collective operations of all of the routes that are running and the services that are running in a more effective way. And then policies and programs, and this is, again, just a range of things, fare capping, zero fares, job access vouchers, potential for vanpool programs, and then, of course, transit-oriented development, which I know was mentioned earlier by one of the members here. Our first goal is to fix it first. We want to be sure that we're looking at bringing back CAT bus service again in a smart and effective way, bring back from our service modification what makes sense and what is sustainable. We want to look at more frequent service. We always get requests, and this is something we've heard in all that public outreach a lot, for longer hours and more hours, more frequent service and longer hours, investing again in passenger comfort. Being creative, and I think we're already showing how creative we can be just in the smart grant application that we developed. And I will tell you that when the USDOT officials were here for the a press release for that, they said it was one of the most creative applications that they received anywhere in the country. So we're incredibly proud. Branding of CAT services. It's amazing to me how many people you can talk to, and they do not know that the ferries and the DOT shuttles are a part of CAT. And so one of the things that we want to do is we don't want to change CAT or the CAT name, but rebrand some of these services to make sure everybody knows what all CAT is providing in the community. Expanding the base. These are draft and medium-term strategies. So, again, looking at corridor-based service, potential expansion for a successful initial microtransit, continued capital investments, expanding commuter services. And then longer term, achieving the vision at 10 plus years of a fully developed transit network, expanded commuter services, the potential at some point in the future, and this could be way off in the future, but nonetheless, the potential for a regional transit authority, depending on the kind of growth and economic activity that's happening all around us. And then continuing capital investments in things like bus stops and parking lots and those mobility hubs. On the financial strategy side, again, I'm going to try to move through some of these things quickly because some of it ties back to things that I've already said and you've heard. But in transit services, increasing those service levels and introducing microtransit, an emphasis on those bus stop improvements. And again, the notion of how we can use different types of policies and programs to help continue to support the health of our service. So our investment priorities right now are to confirm our funding outlook. We're in our FY24 budget process right now. Chairman Cody can tell you from our board meetings that that is topic of conversation. We're having very robust dialogues around our financial status. We are in a very solid financial position right now, and we're proud of that. It's not something that CAT has always enjoyed, but it is absolutely something. And we've got to have that kind of financial integrity and that kind of financial solid base in order to be partners. You can't attract all those other dollars if people don't, one, think that you're financially reliable, but they also, they've got to know you're going to deliver. You know, to the chairman, I know chairman brings up oftentimes, we can't be sending money back. And we've got to deliver, and we know how to do that, and we are. Identifying funding strategies for the highest priorities. Again, one of the things that we like to do and have been successful with is looking at those projects and really creating very innovative but very customized implementation and funding strategies for the major projects, because instead of just sort of rolling through a more traditional look at those things, we're making sure that we're being very intentional about those. Determining needs and opportunities for new funding. There's always needs and always opportunities for new funding. Where's CAT today? We've talked a little bit about this already. Our operating costs have been outpacing our operating revenues. Like every other transit system in the country, we had the benefit of the COVID injection of funds, but that has created a fiscal cliff for transit systems all across the country. Ours is projected, when those funds finally drop off, around FY26. Am I remembering this? 26, thank you. FY26. I know you all know our CFO, Stephanie Cutter. Ms. Cutter and I work together closely all the time. We've made sure that we are building our financial reliability so that we weather that transition back into a non-external, special supported world to serve our customers. COVID-19, I mentioned that already. Our passenger fare revenue decreased with those drops in riderships. As we continue to add ridership back, I think that will continue to rebound some. But overall, passenger fare is not a huge part. It's important, but not a huge part of our budget. Service reductions and lowering costs in the short term. Where's CAT today? We have had a historic underinvestment in our capital needs. There are things that we allowed to get, they got so far out of state of good repair that, again, like I said, we're playing some pretty dramatic catch up in some areas, and Marine Services is the one that really shows itself all the time. High inflation, you all see this. All of you are in local governments and in positions where you're seeing that you put the projects out and your cost estimate, and then you get the bids and they're different and sometimes substantially different. Inflation and cost of materials and all those kinds of things are still impacting us. CAT is targeting and securing capital funds. As you've seen today with the presentations for both UPWP and TIP amendments, we have been on the move. Very successful in going after federal funds. And again, but we're very intentional about it. We're not applying for every grant. We're only applying for the grants that we know will make sense for us. There's a couple of 100% grant opportunities. Like the SMART grant, we really tag onto those if they make sense for us. And then the others that, again, help us to build our system. Federal grants require matching funds. Those 100% grants are like one in a million. They just don't happen very often. And so the notion of a reliable, and that this is our biggest constraint point right now, and it is also one of the reasons why we are so conservative about what we look at in terms of grants, is because all of our federal funds and all of our matching funds are committed to delivery of something that you already know about, whether that's fixed route service or paratransit service or maintenance. Of what we have, all those kinds of the ferries, the shuttles, it's everything we have is committed. How can CAT strategically shape its new normal? The biggest key for us is this master transit plan. Why is that? It's because it really enables us all to come together and really say, what do we want CAT to be in the community? How do we want CAT to serve the needs in the community? We're looking at how we can set aside a portion of the special district transit tax revenue to fund some critical short-term capital needs, using those one-time COVID-19 relief funds to strategically support our transition to the new normal, using our new capital funds to match and strategically compete for federal grants during the bipartisan infrastructure law period. I'll mention we're also looking at federal braiding. So they're very limited opportunities, but to be able to use federal funds, most of the time you can't use federal funds to match other federal funds, but there are some limited opportunities for that. We're making sure we're thinking about those and being very intentional about that. Proactively pursue additional local and state funding opportunities and partnerships. And we are certainly very excited about the opportunity for new local funding that may be considered in the future around transportation. Using funds and success in the field to make the business case for a mid to long-term increase in dedicated annual funding. Dedicated funding is absolutely critical for every transit system, and it is for us as well. And we also, again, what I was saying earlier is we've got to demonstrate that we're a good business partner for everyone, that we're reliable, that we're going to do what we say we're going to do, we're going to deliver on time, on budget, so forth. The master plan priorities, I think we've already gone through all of this, but again, you can kind of see them bucketed to the potential short-term, mid-term, and long-term years of implementation. Again, remember that short-term is this comprehensive operation analysis, transit development plan, COA TDP portion of this, although the master transit plan will ground itself on that foundation, and then the medium and longer-term pieces. And the master transit plan also serves as the policy document for what we're accomplishing. Next steps, again, I've talked about all these meetings and so forth. The next big meeting, we've got a stakeholder meeting coming up. We've got pop-ups. We've got focus groups. But we've got that open house on May 16th from 4 to 7 p.m. We would love to see you all there. And then we'll be making in-person presentation draft of the recommendations to our board at the end of May. On target for presentation here again in June, and then adoption by our board in June as well. Thank you. And if I'll be glad to try to answer any questions you may have, or I may try to rely upon some of my experts out here.
All right. Any questions, Commissioner Milton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That excellent presentation. I just have one question. The application for a paratransit rider is pretty extensive. Can that be reviewed, or can that be more structured? What a paratransit rider has to go through to certify to get mobility?
Sure. Commissioner Milton, if you'll give me a chance after this meeting to look at the detail of that. Yes, it is an extensive process, but it's also a process that follows federal requirements and so forth. So I will look and make sure that we are not doing anything that makes it overly burdensome, but we're merely being compliant. But I will, I'll be glad to follow up with you after this with more information.
Very good. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, sure. Just one. Ms. DeMassimo, thank you so much for your presentation. In a pinch, to come and deliver, just tell us, what's your favorite improvement looking ahead to CAT? I mean, this is nothing short of revolutionary as you're rebuilding it. It's exciting. But what's your personal favorite improvement, if you could pick one?
I think microtransit is the game changer. I think that if you look at transit historically in the country, we've been fixed route systems, especially in, you know, maybe not in the larger places that have, you know, not Chicago and LA and New York and all the places that also have trains and all those kinds of good things, subways. But if you look at most transit systems in the country that have historically been based on a fixed route with corresponding paratransit service, the notion that started, I think the vision of that began to erode somewhat before COVID, although COVID was a driver for so much change in so many different ways in the country. But I think that growth in Uber and Lyft and ride-hail services that none of us could, I mean, Who would have thought 10, 15 years ago that you would keep an app on your phone and you would call up some stranger to come pick you up and take you somewhere and you would pay for it right there on your phone and boom, right? I mean, that just, but we're all about customization. We're all about personal service. We want to go where we want to go, when we want to go there, how we want to go there, right? So the notion that transit, public transit in our country has got to evolve into the market that's out there. So I think that microtransit as a tool enables us to do that. So it enables us to prosper. But it also, in places where fixed routes just can't go and can't be, it enables you to get service in there so that you can reach deeper into the community in a still reliable way. And you can do that in a way that I'm absolutely convinced will achieve a better equity outcome. I know that every great community has a great transit system. And that's what I think about every single day. It's the first thing I think about when I get up in the morning. It's the last thing I think about when I go to sleep at night.
Excellent. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Moving right along, let's go on with the US 80 corridor study update. Is there an update?
Wycota, if you could bring up page 2 of that quarterly report.
It's up there.
Yeah, I want you to go to the next page.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's good.
Okay.
I just wanted to cover a few items in terms of the project itself. One of the things that I'm very pleased to say is that the project is on schedule and certainly within budget. This project schedule shows you the phases that have been completed. They're currently in the draft alternatives analysis, and that'll be completed in June. And the final report will be submitted on September, the end of September. The budget, it was $285,000. Invoice to date is $164,000. And the project estimate is they are 57.8% completed. One of the other things, if you look at the status update, is that that team is coordinating with CAT to integrate their studies with the CAT recent study. So we'll be in tune. Other than that, that's all I have. Thank you. Any questions?
All right. Any questions? Okay.
Any information on the public open house yet? Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. Moving right along.
Isha, we'll do the corn pure planning area boundary update on this.
I'll just quickly go through the metropolitan planning area boundary update for the corn PO. Just to introduce what we're doing, so all MPOs must have a planning boundary and a planning area that we plan within. And for the core MPO specifically, we use the Savannah urban area that is released with each census as a basis for our boundary update. So the core MPO boundary is revised every census, every 10-year census. So this one is being revised in accordance with the 2020 decennial census. And again, it's being revised according to our current urban area and then areas expected to be urbanized in the future. So just some of what we've been doing within this process, we met with a working group to decide the boundaries of this new MPA area and decide where those boundary lines will lay. And then we presented this proposed boundary to representatives from Effingham County and Bryan County for comment. And now we'll also be presenting this proposed boundary for the core MPO to also give their input. In terms of our methodology for drawing this new proposed boundary, again, we use the census Savannah urban areas and the current metropolitan planning area for the core MPO as a base. And we expanded the boundary with the following criteria. So the criteria was population density, impervious surfaces, and then expanding those boundaries in a more simplified way rather than a complex one. Just to go into more detail of our methodology, in terms of population density, we wanted to include areas with a population density of 500 people per square mile or more, and we wanted to do that currently, and then also according to future projections of which areas will have 500 people per square mile or more. And through this analysis, we identified dense population areas within Bryan and Effingham counties, in addition to the dense population areas that already exist within Chatham County. In terms of impervious surfaces, we wanted to include job centers like the upcoming Hyundai plant, and that's just because the job centers have a major impact on transportation and future development. In terms of simple boundaries, we wanted to avoid jagged edges or any boundary that may have felt random. And so we based the boundary on existing county lines, rivers, and roadways. With that, this is the proposed new core MPO planning boundary. And as you can see, it's expanded a lot in comparison to the previous boundary. And I'm just going to go into more detail. So this is just the Effingham portion of this proposed boundary. So we see portions of Guyton, Springfield, and all of Rincon are included in this proposed boundary. For Bryan County, we see Pembroke and the unincorporated areas, and then also the proposed area of the Hyundai plant is included within this proposed boundary. And then increased portions of southern Bryan County are also included. So this is a comparison between our old boundary, which is in orange, and then the new proposed boundary, which shows major expansion northward and westward. Just to go into some of the highlights, significant portions of Bryan and Effingham counties have been included into this proposed boundary. Fort Stewart is not included in this boundary, but it does serve as a border within Bryan County. State Route 119 is used as the northern boundary for Effingham. However, this does mean that some portions of Guyton and Springfield are not within the boundary, but we discussed this with Effingham County and they were okay with the boundary line being placed on State Route 119. In terms of population, within this proposed boundary, the total core MPO MPA population would be close to 400,000 people. And with that, are there any questions?
Any questions from any board member? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, great presentation. Thank you so much. Speaking of population, are there any benefits to an MPO if it reaches above 400,000 population?
I think Waikato.
I didn't know if there were any grant opportunities once you.
No. I think there are like only two criteria. One is 50,000, another one is 200,000. So we reached the 2,000, we became TMA in 2002. But there are some other, like larger, like more than 1 million. I would say another one would be 1 million. Yeah.
Well, we have a little way to go before we get to that point.
Yes.
Thank you.
Chairman.
All right. Commissioner.
What's the process for getting and moving forward with the expansion? How does that happen?
What is the?
Well, with the MPO boundary, increasing the boundary and bringing in these other cities.
For one thing, it is a requirement because after every decennial census, we have to revisit our planning boundary, and we have to include the major like Savannah urban boundary plus the area expect to be urbanized. So we're just following the federal rules. And then, and also you look at the traffic patterns.
I think he's asking about the next steps.
Yeah.
Oh, next steps. Okay.
Yeah, how do we implement this?
Okay. The next steps, and we are going to update our memorandum of understanding. And then if the MPO board approves the MOU, we will send MOU to each jurisdiction for signature. And then we will also update our bylaws So that includes the structure, including this board. So the TCC, we were combining like CEC and ACAT probably into one committee. Have some voting structure, decisions, probably like adding seat for Evian County and Bryan County. I mean, we have to determine on that. So that will come to you in June. But for this meeting, we actually want you to have okay with this boundary, and that's what we will proceed from here. And so after actually for the MOU, after each jurisdiction signs, the pull-up will include Chatham County, City of Savannah, Effingham County, Tybee. You will all receive that. So after we got all the signatures, we will forward the whole package, including the boundary, MOU, and the bylaws and fee structure to the governor. So the governor will sign off on that, and then we will operate under the new boundary and the new voting structure, new bylaws, new MOUs.
And for today's meeting, which I think you're kind of getting at, we need to see if you concur to get with the boundary, so that we can move forward with having those conversations with others. And look at some of the additional changes as a consequence of the boundaries. Again, because this is an important point, just know that multiple things have to change as a consequence of that. That's, we have to update our bylaws because that's going to change. We've got to look at the whole structure of the board with regards to numbers of seats. And that's why we were talking about the combination for ACAT and EFAC. So, those are the types of things that we need to do as the second phase. But the first phase, which is where we are today, is to get concurrence from you that this is a boundary that you support.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we just don't want to come back because this new boundary will also be when we're developing the 2050 long-range transportation plan, this GDOT will provide us with the revenues within this boundary. So we don't want to just work on something and then somebody's opposing the boundary change and then we have to redo everything. So we try to like get some concurrence from you that this would be the boundary that we will follow so that we can follow up with the next steps.
All right. Anything else from anybody else? Let me do this. Let me ask this now. I want to ask this board to do this for me. All right. Can we table this? All right. I'm not satisfied with what we're trying to do here, especially when we're talking about changing bylaws and changing representation on this board. You don't have enough information because I don't have enough information. I've got more information than you have. All right. So I really would like for us to table this until we can get some definites in here. All right. And understand exactly what we're doing, because I don't think, and this goes to what you just asked, Commissioner Hutchison, about the effects of what we're doing. All right. I don't think we know, because this was the first time I saw this yesterday. All right. And I'm sorry to be the slowest one in the class, but I'm not ready for this. So I would ask that we table this until we can get more information.
We did give a presentation in February about the whole process.
I know you gave that. All right. But I also know that there are bylaws and there are other things that set over here that are federally guidelined, and then there are local guidelines that we must meet some of the stuff.
Yes, sir. And the bylaws is going to be addressed after this. This is just the first step.
This is the first step.
Yeah, but listen.
We're not asking to change the bylaws at this
point. But I'm not prepared to let you go first step because I don't know what the consequences of first steps are.
The first step helps us, if I may, Melanie Wilson, Executive Director, if I may, all we're asking is to have established boundaries so that we can go have a conversations with the people that are impacted, additional conversations with regards to the people that are included within this proposed boundaries. Nothing is going to change with regards to bylaws or anything else like that. We just need to have this so that we know what we're dealing with and are able to move forward to the second step on this. That's all this is doing.
We had a working group, Wycota. Was everyone, I don't know that Effingham County was included in that working group meeting that we had.
We didn't.
But I think we had people from everyone else, right?
Yes.
Chatham
yes.
County and City of Savannah.
Right. Richmond Hill.
All participated in that working group meeting and to make the determination about what made sense for the boundaries. And then I think you guys talked to Effingham County after, right?
Yes, we did talk to
So Tim. Everyone was, as far as the municipalities were.
Yes, I hear all you're saying.
Okay.
All right. But I'm not comfortable with moving forward with this. Right, as your chairman, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't have enough information, and I got more information than most of you sitting here. All right. So now, can I get you to agree to table this until we get more information before we put this out there?
I am hesitant to table just the proposed boundaries, and I say this because I represent Bryan County.
Right.
Bryan County, and this is where we got to go forward. We got to have a starting point. When I sat down with the county engineer and the county commissioners, because this is already on my plate with them, they may have some changes that they say, well, this area is not going to grow and we want to exclude it. So that's a lot of conversation.
Right.
And the longer that we delay this is further out before we make our changes for the MPO and also the impact for the TCC and all of the other committees. I envision the number of representatives will probably increase at some point once everything is done. I know the bylaws have got to be changed. Luckily I've been involved in this. So, but if I go down to Bryan County and sit down with the commission and say, well, we really don't know because we put it on hold, then I really can't have that conversation.
But can't you have the conversation about showing them what the old map looks like, what the new map looks like, and what we are proposing to do and get their total input? And like she said, you said Effingham County was not there?
They were not there during the first working group.
Okay, all right. So I see maybe I'm the dunce in the class, but I see no problem with putting it until we get those conversations and we get everybody's buy-in before we do something that we may regret down the line.
Chairman.
Right? Okay. So now, you all can disagree with me because that's everybody's prerogative, but I, for one, will not be supporting this until I can get questions that I have more answers to. All right. And that's why I say, as your chairman now, we can still have conversations. I'm not stopping conversation. I'm still having conversation, but as a board, for most of you all except those who own the committee, this is the first time you've seen us. Yesterday was the first time I saw us. All right. And it's too much for me to grasp at one time to say, yeah, okay, let's go ahead and do that. All right. I'd rather get it right than to have to do it over.
If I may, Mr. Chair, if it is the wish of this board to postpone it, although, candidly, we shared all of this information with both Effingham County and Bryan County regarding what the future boundaries are and what the current boundaries are, then instead of having these conversations with others to move forward with the other things that we have to do, then we should just amend the schedule and push everything back by 2 months if that is what is it, what you are proposing. It's difficult to have those conversations without having a boundary or something to have a conversation about. And I know Ms. Bernard has been heavily involved, so I'll
let
I just wanted to point out that this is just a status update at this point. This is not an action item. So if we can continue and make sure that we share all the information with everyone and get you the information that you want and make sure everyone has all their questions answered and get everything. I think, I think we need to keep moving with the working group so that we can try to put that information together. So
again,
I'm just making sure that you don't want us to stop that process.
Right. No. And that's not what I'm asking you to do.
Thank you.
I'm not asking to stop the process. All right. I'm just asking to get all of the I's and T's taken care of before we move forward.
Before we approve anything.
And so, to me, when you're talking about taking steps to amend the bylaws and things, I think you're talking about stepping forward, but you need to know what you're doing when you're going. I don't think we need to undo anything that we have done or anything that's important. And to me, this is too important because I have insight as to what is coming and how it's going to affect us. All right. And I think that there are board members here who need to know that same kind of stuff. All right. I never want to be the one who know stuff by myself. As much as I know, I try to give out. So I'm not telling you to stop meeting with folks. I'm not telling you to stop talking about how the boundaries fit. But suppose you go to start having a conversation, and it's just a suppose, all right? You go to start to have the conversations about the old boundaries and the new boundaries, and then Effingham or Bryan County want you to make some adjustments. I'm saying you're giving you that chance to make that adjustment to bring you back to this board to say these are the adjustments they want to make, all right, to what we are proposing. See? And so that doesn't stop the committee from doing its work. That doesn't stop the MPO from doing its work. You can carry out your work, except that I'm just not ready to say, let's vote, let's do this, let's do that, all right? I'm just not comfortable with it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
too much
I just
for me to digest from yesterday to today.
Okay, if I may, all we asked for was concurrence with regards to where we're going with the boundary. Nothing is like submitted in stone until everything is done, but we need to have something with regards to having a guide.
Right, and what I'm saying, the guide that I'm saying to this board that we give you. Is we give you the authority to go forward to have the conversations about these borders, about these, and to get their input and to get other folks' input. And then because when you get on the part of this thing, there are people who are on this board who never attend, who never do nothing that we may have to drop them off. All right. So there are more than just saying, okay, keep going with what you're doing. All right. Understand me. Keep going with what you're doing. But there are more folks than just the folks you have already talked to that need to have input in this before we move forward. That's all I'm saying. All right. And I, for one, am not comfortable with moving forward with this. Yes, sir.
One last comment. If this move is not mandated, I'd like to see the advantages and the disadvantages of doing it.
Simple. You said it. You said what I'm saying much simpler than I said.
All right. I can address.
No. Listen. He's saying he'd like to see.
I can answer.
He didn't say answer. He said he'd like to see. So my thing with seeing stuff is putting stuff in writing so folks can digest it. All right.
Me telling you how to fly a plane is one thing. We can make sure that we provide that, but as we indicated, we have to make adjustments to our boundary. That's the law. We have to adjust based every 10 years. It is population based,
all right,
and it does impact with regards to the monies that we get because we are a TMA.
All right, let me ask you this question based upon what you just said. How many of you sitting here on this board know the law? How many of you have read the law? How many of you have seen the law? Pertaining to what's in front of you now, what's on your screen right now. She said we have to do it based upon the law, based upon the census, right? Based upon the new census, right? The 2020 census, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So now how many of you know that law? There you go. Now you're at my point. My point is get the information and have all the information before you come up with saying let's go. And I'm gonna say it again. Commissioner Hutchinson said it better than I could say it. He said he'd like to know the pros and the cons and the what's and the what. All right. I don't see any problem with what we're doing, except that carry on the conversations, have the committee, but make sure that the board members here who are going to eventually vote on this stuff know exactly what we vote on. All right. That's all I'm asking.
Can we
y'all see any wrong? So can we give them that direction, please? Yeah. Did anybody have any?
You're looking for like a report from the working group, or do more people want to come to the working group, or do we need to have a workshop, or we need
how do you disseminate the information?
not really sure exactly what the information you're looking. Maybe if we had some questions, perhaps that would, some written questions that we could answer.
All right. What did you present to Bryan County and what did you present to Effingham County?
We presented to Bryan County the same presentation that we just presented to you. So they got the opportunity to ask questions. They got the opportunity to tell us if they felt like there need to be any adjustments or any tweaks made based on what we presented. I don't have a problem. We're not asking you to say these boundaries are in concrete. We have to have something to have as a guide to go speak with these folks about. The other thing to remember is that there are thresholds with regards to how far we can expand based on, you know, the rules that are in place regarding boundary expansion. So there's multiple things that we have to do. There's multiple hoops that we have to jump through. We just need to know, are you okay with us based on this proposed boundary that is there? You're not. It can be changed. If it's going to be changed, we'll tweak it. But for right now, we need to be able to engage in conversations with folks that are within these proposed boundaries. So you're not approving anything. We just need it. This is a guide. Look at this as a guide. That we are using to as a component to amend, which you will be heavily involved in later.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Ms. Bernard mentioned the concept of having a workshop, and I know everybody's time is valuable, but to the chairman's point, this is a profound change in the boundaries and the potentially the direction of this organization. And I don't know whether that's something that we could organize.
We can do a workshop.
Specifically just for this topic. Okay.
We can do that.
So we, all of you comfortable with us doing that?
Yeah.
It's going to be by the time we have the next meeting, right?
Probably. We can do it in May.
We can do the workshop. If it's okay with everybody, we'll do the workshop in May. We would like to have this done before the next meeting. So we need to do it as soon as we can.
That's your timeline.
And we will make sure if you want to know what the federal guidelines are, things of that nature, we'll be glad to send that to you. Regarding what we've got to do.
The law part.
Right. We'll send that to you so that you know legally we have to make some decisions, but we can do something in May.
Right.
And what will happen is I'll have someone will be contacting you all to let you know that we're, you know, what we're proposing. The question's going to be, do you want to have it in person or do you want to have it virtually?
I think the governor already cleared that up for us.
Well, you're not voting. If it's a workshop, it's a workshop.
I mean, but what the governor said though is if we're going to have a meeting of the board, then it's not virtual for board members. I'm telling you, that's how we operating.
That's fine.
And understand
for the workshop.
Understand what my hesitance is. Two things. Number one, whatever we do, we're going to have to submit in the final analysis. We're going to have to submit to the governor's office. That's the state. Whatever we do in the final analysis, we're going to have to go by the federal guidelines. You don't have that knowledge in front of you. And I'm saying to us, let's have the workshops. Let's present so that we cover all those areas so that when we do this thing, we do this thing and make those changes to the bylaws and to the Constitution or whatever else you want to call it, all right, and get it right the first time and not do this over, all right? So that means that the stakeholders in here are honestly Chatham County, Bryan County, Effingham County. Am I correct? All right, let's make sure we have the conversation with all those entities. Now, if we set up the workshop and they don't come to the workshop, they send somebody who is in agreement to workshop, and then you go back and let's say they got five commissioners and three of them don't agree and all that kind of stuff, then we don't need to be fumble bumbling around with that kind of stuff. Let's get it straight first. That's all I'm asking.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Are we just dealing with confirming these boundaries that you've established and presented to us?
We want concurrence from the boundaries so that we can start to explore the MOUs and bylaws based on this boundary.
So can we go ahead and approve these boundaries and continue with the workshop?
That's what he doesn't want.
You don't want to do that?
No.
Well, what are we going to do in between now and May?
Work on getting all the stakeholders on the same place about the changes we're going to make in these boundaries.
I thought that would be what we do after we set the boundaries. No?
We can do it the other way around.
Okay. I think I see the path forward is that we schedule a workshop and invite everybody just to focus on this thing.
Thank you.
In May. And then during that workshop, and we will present this boundary, and then maybe some of the entailed changes or possible changes that come with it, and have a discussion so that we can finalize the boundary, finalize the MOU, finalize the bylaws, and then we put them together in June for adoption. Right? Is that the path?
You own my page.
Okay.
You own my page. All right. So now, does everyone understand what we're doing? All right. So please schedule a workshop and let's get that done. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's move on. We got the non-motorized transportation.
I'll be giving that presentation as well.
All right.
So the core MPO is updating its non-motorized transportation plan. In addition to some of the other plan updates that are going on right now. And right now, we are working on the bike portion. So there are two portions of this plan, one that focuses more on cycling and then one that focuses more on pedestrian infrastructure. So right now, we're focusing a lot on the bike infrastructure. So what we've done so far is we worked with Bike Walk Savannah, specifically Caleb Brown, and we plotted out a proposed regional bike network. And the goal of this network is to connect all three counties within the core MPO area with continuous bikeways. And then these long-distance bike networks can act as a foundation for smaller networks to branch off from. Another goal of this bikeway is to also connect it to some of the major existing and planned bikeways, such as Tie to Town and the East Coast Greenway. And we're still receiving input on this network from the steering committee, and we'll also hold a future steering committee meeting within the future just to see if this is what we want to go with within the non-motorized transportation plan. Some of what we're also doing is analyzing bike lane designs that can be easily adapted within the Savannah area. So we are analyzing which buffers create a safe distance between cyclists and drivers, and then also exploring what types of physical barriers can offer extra protection, and then also exploring the use of multi-use paths that can be used by both cyclists and pedestrians, which may be easier to implement. Some of the next steps that we're doing is we're going to focus more on the pedestrian portion. And so that's going to include sidewalks, signage, and crosswalks. So we'll be exploring the best signage to make intersection crossing safer, examining our local sidewalk network and the state of sidewalk conditions, and then exploring the use of multi-use paths, more so from a standpoint of accessibility so that all people can be able to use those multi-use paths easily. And again, I just want to state that this plan, we are planning to adopt it next year, the summer of next year. So we still have a lot of time to continue working on our bike network and then also analyzing our sidewalk infrastructure and our crosswalk infrastructure. With that being said, are there any questions?
All right, any questions? Thank you, ma'am. All right, let's go on to information from GDOT. Project status update. Are they online? She's online?
Yes, sir.
All right. Can we turn the volume up? Yeah, because we can't hear her. I can at least.
It was muted. I couldn't get it off, but I'm on now. So in the interest of time, I won't go into detail for every project, but if you have any questions, just let me know. Also, I want to point out that the roundabout project on State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road is cut off the report and error, but it remains in concept. And for construction, the construction report. Yeah, there we go. 521855, that was your widening and reconstruction on US 80. And it has relit and has two bids at the time.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else? Ms. Reloser?
That's all. I was just waiting on any questions.
Any questions?
Can you repeat what you just said about the SR-30 Hodgeville roundabout?
I cut it off the report in error, but it still remains in concept.
Okay, I got you. Thank you.
It's not on there, but it's still in concept.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Anything else for GDOT? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, Chatham. County project status update report.
Hello. Just wanted to update you all. The studies for State Route 25 corridor, State Route 204 access, and President Street at the Truman Railroad study, all of those are currently underway for soliciting consultant qualifications. I think some of those qualifications have come back and are under review. Quaco Road widening project, the clearing contract is now out for bid. And then the Johnny Mercer at Lyman Hall traffic signal project is also out for bid currently. And then I think Allen's Expressway at Oatland Island project, I don't think it's on this list, but it has been resubmitted for bid. So are there any questions about any county projects?
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Deanna Brooks.
And who you're?
Chatham County.
Engineering?
Yes.
Okay.
What, you didn't think we had young engineers? I'm just having fun. Right.
Who is on the reviewing committee for the three studies?
For which?
For the three studies Chatham County is doing.
For the most part, I think it's going to be myself, Deanna, and Alan Blake.
Okay.
You need something from?
No.
Why, do you want to review the solicitation?
Well, if I had time, I wish. No, I'm just curious, like, well, who's on the review?
There may be someone else from purchasing. I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. Usually is.
If it's something you need a report on or something you need to know now, make sure they're available for you. You need that?
I wish I had time to review all the proposals,
I'm going to ask Ms. Denard if you get y'all together and get with her so she can get her time in.
If possible, if we could just get a copy of the information that you're sending out, that'll be fine. We don't have to, to review the proposals.
The proposals, yes, proposals, yeah.
That's what you need. That's all that she's talking about. There's not going to be any.
Just the proposals.
Just get a copy of the proposals.
You got it? You got it? Okay.
Yes.
All right. You get it.
Thank you.
All right. City of Savannah.
Do we have anybody online or Jill, are you going to do the presentation?
Somebody online?
Is Michelle online? Hold on. Michelle is not online. Okay, their report is attached to the agenda.
Okay.
You want to talk about it?
Unless you want to be self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's very brief. Joseph Sharehouse with the City of Savannah. Three very, very brief updates for this week. The Lessops Avenue project continues with utility relocations. We talked a little bit about Duren, which is still in NEPA process, unfortunately, going through environmental justice. And we're excited about some progress with our Truman Linear Trail Phase 2B. We just finalized the right-of-way portion of this project and are excited to move forward into construction.
All right. Any questions? All right. Let's move right along. Airport. Anything?
Jim has already left, but the report is attached to the agenda.
Okay.
So if you want to take a look at it.
Anybody need to look at it? All right, let's move on then. All right. Who's got the...
Is Stephanie online for the Let's South DOT? Okay. Yeah, but the report is on attached. Basically, okay. It's I-95 widening and US-17 widening project.
Okay.
So it's attached to the report.
All right. CAT update, anything?
I will just open the CAT.
I'm not going to go through these in the interest of time today, one by one, but it's all the things that you've already heard today. And Chairman, to your point earlier, this is where we'll be giving those progress reports. We'll be including those new projects will be included in this, just like we normally do. But the two ferry purchase construct, keep in mind that when we give you this report, we usually have to give it to you a little bit in advance. So there's been some more current updates.
Mm-hmm.
As what I'd reported earlier, there's two ferries that are currently in construction right now. We're taking delivery on the 10 electric vehicle paratransit vehicles now. We're in process on 3 diesel bus replacements. We are still working on resolving some issues with the Clever devices and the ITS deployment on the ferry vessels. Let's see. On the ferry maintenance facility and ferry dock, this was the grant, Chairman, that you may recall was in risk of lapse.
Right.
It was from 2018, 2017, sometime back in there. We are continuing to get closer and closer to the federal release of those funds. There'll be like one more thing and one more thing. So, but we're getting there. And there's nothing of any, there's no substantive issues related to it. It's just still buttoning up, you know, pieces of the process. We do have grants for 4 more, electric vehicles. That'll bring our total, electric buses, the big buses, to 10. And we've already presented today on the transit development plan and comprehensive operational analysis. Keep going up. And I think some of these are some of our other grant programs that are still being integrated into the work that we've got right now. Is there anything below? Yep. Same with both the areas of persistent poverty and the American Rescue Plan. And then, of course, all of that analysis is being incorporated into those studies in the master transit plan that we discussed earlier today.
All right. Any questions? Let me ask this question. What's your status and where are you about the charging stations other than at Duquette?
So we have a mobile charging station. We have those electric charging stations at CAT, and we're working with Georgia Power and other partners on the potential for development outside of CAT, but for CAT
right.
use. I think that's particularly going to be, it's interesting you bring that up, Chairman, because that is going to be particularly critical with this kind of micro transit deployment that we're talking about. And one of the things is we saw a grant possibility that looked very well suited to doing exactly that, to developing out a much broader system of how we would do that kind of electric charging infrastructure networking. So we should have some more information on that in the coming months.
Are you still in conversation with them about having the charging station so if the bus is not using, private citizens can use? Or you don't know? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's move on. Tip.
The TIP tracking, we actually contact the local project sponsors. They provided information, so we updated the table. So it was right. Updated.
So do we have any other public comments? Are there any online? None online. Okay. Any other notes that we need to do? Therefore, hearing none, seeing none. Our next MPO board meeting will be June 28th. Okay, at 10 a.m. here, all right? If nothing else, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn, Palumbo.
Second. Did you code him?
Probably motion and second. Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Good night.
busy day. Out of here.